In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you go to the chapel of Bruder Klaus, where he had his hermitage at Flüeli Ranft, you will see a large painting on one wall which shows a sunlit Switzerland surrounded by a dark Europe, covered by storm and thunderclouds. The picture was painted in 1914 or 1915, and it is a prayer of thankfulness to God that Switzerland was preserved from the horrors that were engulfing its neighbours. Perhaps too it is a prayer that the spirit of Bruder Klaus will keep Switzerland out of the war, as he had worked to preserve peace among rival factions in his home country back in the 15th century. The picture, no doubt, sums up the prayers of many people in Switzerland in those days of August 1914. By way of contrast, an English poet, J.G. Squire, wrote a piece of sarcastic doggerel. God heard the nations sing and shout, Gott strafe England, and God save the king. God this, God that, and God the other thing. Good God, said God, I've got my work cut out. Religion, in fact, took a huge knock during the First World War. Not only because people saw the illogicality of such prayers. In the countries at war, church leaders eagerly put themselves forward as recruiting sergeants with sermons about holy war and hymns like O Valiant Hearts and Has Gesang gegen England. But most of all, there was a huge loss in confidence. How had advanced nations got themselves into this mess? How had people who called themselves the civilized nations of the world suddenly started to do such dreadful things to each other? Was this where their belief in progress had led them? To mechanized warfare with ever more destructive and uncontrollable weapons? And alongside this loss of confidence in civilization and progress, older, more primitive emotions came to the fore. Hatred, destructiveness, bloodlust, and other images of God emerged. Was he simply a tribal god who you needed to get on your side? Or was he a helpless spectre, unable to put a stop to it all? It is for reasons like this that we mark the 100th anniversary of the First World War. For that war raised much deeper and complex issues than, for example, the Second, which was much more obviously a struggle between good and evil. So 100 years on, we are still asking the question, where was God in all of this? What was prayer all about in that situation? One lesson to learn is that it is dangerous for the church to be too close to the powers that be. She must not only bless what is right and just, but also speak out against what is wrong in the state and society. You cannot separate religion and politics. Christianity is not only a matter of individual morality and personal piety. There is such a thing as corporate sin, where something evil and rotten has taken hold in society, or in 1914, taken hold in the whole of Western civilization, then the church's mission is to bring to bear the gospel message of penitence, forgiveness, and reconciliation. At the end of the service today, we shall be putting out the candles, recalling the words of Sir Edward Grey, the British Foreign Secretary, in 1914. As the minutes ticked away before war was declared, he said, "The lights are going out all over Europe. A dark age was about to begin." And even now, 100 years later, some of its shadows remain. But in the Gospel according to St. John, we hear the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And in Psalm 139 we read, "Lord, the darkness is no darkness with you." Even when every man-made light is put out, the light of God remains. Our mission as Christians is to see those points of light in the darkness, to recognize them for what they are, and to help others see them too. Amen.